In fairness to Meade, Patrick was a prickly staff officer to have around. His sour mood, exacerbated by the pain in his shoulder that the electric shocks he had been receiving did not seem to be relieving. He could be cold with people even when they tried to be nice to him. When enlisted men brought him a handsome sword as a thank you, the provost marshal refused to accept the gift until Grant ordered him to take it. Continuing to believe that Sharp was a political intriguer, Patrick became so paranoid his deputy was trying to undermine his authority that when he took a leave, he arranged for Sharp to be away at the same time so his deputy would not be in camp plotting against him during his absence. To smooth Meade's ruffled feathers, Grant held off making any formal announcement of the transfer for 5 months and agreed to allow Patrick to remain at Meade's command post along with Sharp for the time being. But soon Sharp was spending all his time at Grant's headquarters at City Point, which became a formidable military base built on a bluff overlooking the junction of the Appomattox and James Rivers, with a harbor for U.S. Navy vessels, a rail track carrying supplies from the docks to Union entrenchments, and a telegraph line linking the General-in-Chief to Washington. At night, Sharp and other staffers sat on rough seats around a roaring fire in front of Grant's wall tent to puff cigars and discuss the war and the intelligence Sharp had received from Richmond. The campfire chat usually wore on until 3 or 4 a.m., when Grant finally went to bed. Unknown to the General-in-Chief, Sharp and the other aides drew lots to have one of them stay awake through the rest of the night to guard the tent while he slept. The officers worried rebel agents might try to sneak into City Point to kidnap their commander. It was not an unfounded fear. Shortly before noon on August 9th, as Grant sat in front of his tent with Sharp and other staff officers discussing the danger of enemy agents infiltrating their camp, a huge explosion showered bullets, shell fragments, and splinters everywhere, some of the splinters hitting Grant and Sharp. A boat filled with ordnance stores at the nearby James River Wharf had blown up, killing 43 and injuring 126. Later, it was determined that Virginia saboteurs had placed a time bomb on the vessel. Sharp could clearly see a long siege ahead. If Grant tried to assault Lee in this sweltering heat, "I think we would be whipped beyond a doubt," he wrote Uncle Jansen. 50-odd days of fighting and marching have reduced the effective force of both armies to incredible extent.